Today we're going to be exploring the issues of the heart and the healing of the heart, emotional clearing, as John Ruskin, our first guest, has so adequately written a book with that title, Emotional Clearing, a Self-Therapy Guide. I'm fascinated with issues of the heart because I've had so many traumas to work through. And it started as a little baby girl, and I had an operation that traumatized me for most of my life. And so this is an area, I hope John is listening, this is an area that I'm very, very, very familiar with. It reminds me, I'm reminded of a conversation that I had with a friend of mine. Her name is Dorcas. And I was sharing some insights with her about things that she could do to heal. And she said, but Crema, that's so much labor. I said, yes, my darling, life is labor. And you know, many of us have issues. In fact, we come to this world with issues and challenges. And what happens is we think we're the only one. I know I did for years. I thought I was the only one that had suffered and that was going through emotional pain. And then as time progressed and through prayer and revelation, I realized that it is not the exception, but it is the rule. We all come with something to overcome. And the challenge is to put these pieces together. And so today, we're going to focus on emotion because it's very evident that it plays a major part in healing. The heart attacks are the number one or one of the top ways that people leave this planet, as we say, make their transitions or die. Heart attacks. And the heart is the seat of so much energy. And we always have these expressions about the heart. Open heart, a loving heart, cold heart, broken heart. So many areas. John Ruskin, are you there?
I'm here, Prema.
Well, I guess you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice.
Uh-huh.
You're dealing and have opened up an area for healing that I feel is really pertinent at this time. I know there's a few specific things I want to share with, I want you to share. We've asked you back. It's been according to the cosmic plan of things that you would come back and you have this opportunity.
Okay.
Because there's a few things in your book that I'd like to focus on today. One is self-love. Because I know for many years of my life, I did not have self-esteem nor self-love, which kind of put me in a position I was willing to suffer in an emotional pit for my entire life because I just didn't feel worthy of healing. So I'm going to let you take the reins and just share some, let's begin with self-love and what that entails.
Okay, that's a very powerful topic. And also you mentioned some other things that we could tie into that, the issue of healing, which is something that's, of course, critically important, and something that I haven't really gone into in too much detail in the previous shows that we've done. But how does healing and health relate to self-love and the emotional work that we're doing, and even the spiritual path, would be a very interesting topic to pursue as far as I could see at this point. Self-love is the basis of it all, and my understanding of what that means has evolved through the years as I've been working on myself, and it's grown from just the notion that I have to like myself and be kind to myself, which is certainly important, but it's taken a much more kind of practical understanding in my own mind, which coincides with the actual work that I do on myself and with clients in terms of emotional healing work. And that has to do with the notion of self-acceptance or self-rejection. So we take love to a somewhat of a more primary stage. Are you accepting or rejecting yourself? And to take that to an even more kind of core level is to bring it to the emotional level. And the question becomes, are you accepting or rejecting your feelings as they are? And this is the essential stance. It's the important place that emotional work begins, because what happens is that usually in the past, our history is one of unconscious resistance and rejection of our emotional self, just as you were talking about in your introduction. We have all these feelings, and many of them are painful, and they constitute a real challenge to our growth and to our prosperity. But what we have to learn to do is to go to a point of acceptance of our emotional experience. And as we grow more and more into that kind of acceptance of ourself on the emotional level, we find that self-love comes about naturally, and it's not something that's forced. You know, oftentimes it's possible to hear the advice of loving yourself, and then we become even more distraught because we realize that we don't love ourselves. We have a lot of pain and anger and fear and resentment inside, and we think that these qualities are going to interfere with our self-love. And that's not the case if you can just move to the point of understanding that you need to accept all these feelings as they are. You know, it is the anger, and it is the resentment, and it is the pain that needs to be accepted within you. And this is often a very controversial topic, because when we're on the spiritual path, we often feel that we want to wipe out these feelings and just go beyond them, and we feel like we're not succeeding when we look inside and we see all this negativity. Yeah, it's ugly, and it doesn't coincide with the concepts of the spiritual path as we've been taught. But this is the first important step with real emotional work. You have to move to the point of acceptance of your emotional self as you are. And the reason for that is because what's happened is we've accumulated all this suppressed negative energy throughout our history. And the reason it's accumulated is because we haven't accepted it. The way that we avoid accumulating this negativity, or suppressing it, as we say, is to bring all our feelings into complete experience. When we've had experiences in the past, either as children or even from previous lives, if we want to start including that paradigm, we've been in this place of resisting our emotional experience then. So that means that we did not experience the feelings, which is what we need to do to release them. The feelings become suppressed, and they become stored, and they start building up. And then, as they keep building up, this suppressed emotional energy starts manifesting. First, in our emotional lives, we feel just terrible and miserable because we have all these feelings lingering. But then it starts to continue to build up and eventually manifest in the physical. And for me, this is a primary way that disease is caused. There may be other reasons that contribute to disease, but I feel that the suppressed emotional is one of the most important, and probably you feel the same way too.
I do. I know that we remember everything in our heart from conception. You know, things are stored in
right.
our heart. And whether if our mother was happy to be pregnant, or if she was being abused at the time, whether verbally or neglected by her mate or whatever, we pick up all of those vibrations.
Right.
And the accumulation actually starts from the womb.
Yeah, and especially it's the negative vibrations that we store, because, as I said, those feelings don't usually get cleared in childhood. We don't have the capacity to really understand what's happening and deal with feelings properly.
So, trouble processing.
Right, so we're unable to process, and then we store the negativity, and then it results in what we call disease.
You also spoke about denial in your book, and I think many of us suffer with denial. We don't want to even believe that we have a problem.
That's right. Denial is very closely related, but it's even more a little more advanced, because we actually believe, when we're in denial, that we do not have those feelings. The feelings are actually shut off from our conscious recognition. So denial is sort of an involuntary function. We just don't believe we have the feelings, and we think that we're fine. Denial is one of the primary stages that we encounter in the work, and as we go deeper, we go past our denial. We start recognizing feelings as we begin our process, and oftentimes it's possible for us to mistakenly feel that we're actually getting worse because we're uncovering the negativity finally, and we need to uncover it and bring it into our awareness before we can start working with it.
So what we need actually is an emotional colonic of some kind.
Yeah, exactly.
And I noticed this, I mean, in America, it's very clear that emotional problems are very prevalent. Sometimes they translate as a bad attitude. I've noticed that in my interactions with people, that a bad attitude seems to be in the air, in New York anyway.
Yeah, it's what happens is there's so much accumulation of unconscious, suppressed negativity that it just starts to manifest in the atmosphere, and we perceive it unconsciously, and that's what you're talking about. That's that attitude kind of thing where we just pick up on it. We don't feel right. We're sensing the vibrations, but it's that negative accumulation that we're sensing. So
now, once we become aware, because in your book you mention awareness as being another level of consciousness. Once those of us who are ready to do this emotional work. And it is a process of work. We roll up our sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step, John?
Well, it's in one way it's really simple, but from another point it's not easy or simple, because what we need to do is simply to experience feelings that we've stored over from the past, and it's not so much. The expression, so-called, of feelings, which we often hear in order to release trapped feelings, it's the experiencing of the feelings that have been suppressed and carried over. So we can do that in a very simple way, just by sitting quietly, letting those feelings come into our consciousness, and then dropping the resistance that we have to the feeling, and experiencing the feeling in our consciousness. As we sit quietly, opening to the feeling, we engage in an inner process. And we find that as we open to and experience what we could call the superficial levels of feeling, these might be things like anger or fear or jealousy, things like that. As we simply allow ourselves to experience the feeling, and also there are actually other things that are important to facilitate experiencing the feeling, such as breath work, body work, lifestyle, and generally. But the principle is generally to experience the feeling. We then start going into deeper levels behind the feeling, and other feelings come up. These can be feelings such as abandonment or lack of recognition or primal fear that we experienced in childhood. Those feelings start coming into our consciousness, and we need to move to the same place of acceptance of them and then the experience of them. So that's essentially the work that I do as a therapist with clients, and that's the work, by the way, that we do in the Emotional Clearing Workshop, which is coming up next week.
John, is this type of work, do you find that it's necessary to have someone hold your hand through this process? Is it good? Would you recommend?
That's a good question. It's not necessary, and the whole emphasis of my work, both as a therapist and also in the workshop, is to provide a training so that people can work on their own. In fact, the subtitle of the book is a self-therapy guide.
Okay.
So, the essence of therapy is really releasing feelings. And once we learn this technique to do it on our own, we go beyond the need to have a therapist. We can release feelings on our own. But at some point, especially if we're beginning, it might be important to have some help, because the therapist's energy can actually help you go deeper into your unconscious, bring up those feelings, and it also provides kind of a supportive safety feeling.
Yes, because I know you also spoke about the importance of having someone, like how a guru or a spiritual teacher, mentor, serves as a source of unconditional love for you.
That's
which allows you to really kind of breathe in and,
right.
and just relax in your imperfection, so to speak.
Right. That's always been the important understanding of what the guru does on the spiritual path. The guru provides that source of unconditional love that you can just sort of resonate with and teaches you to develop that capacity in yourself.
And you also mentioned about witnessing. When you sit and just experience the pain or the anger and just observe it, is that what you mean by witnessing?
Yeah, that's really important. I'm glad you mentioned that. Witnessing actually ties into the spiritual component of this work. And maybe I could get back to what I was suggesting at the beginning. How does health, emotions, and spirituality fit in? When we recognize that feelings are building up in our body, and we have to sit with and experience those feelings in order to clear the energy that's behind the manifestation in the body, we have to do that with a sense of acceptance. It's the same kind of acceptance that we talked about in the beginning, which is the same as self-love. So as we move more and more into that place of acceptance of our emotional self, we start tying into the spiritual component, because so much of real spirituality has to do with this sense of acceptance. And for me, it's sort of been enigmatic in the past. I never really understood why I had to accept or how to do that. When I started working with myself on the emotional level and understood the importance to accept my feelings, then I started tying into this spiritual concept of acceptance, and it really made sense to me. And bringing in the witness is just one more powerful tool. When we start witnessing and accepting our emotional self, we start shifting our sense of experience to the higher self. The higher self is essentially the same as the witness. The higher self means that you're shifting over into spiritual consciousness, and you're breaking the unconscious identification that we experience with the lower self, body, emotions, and mind. And that's a critical part of the work. We have to break that enmeshment, just watch it from that spiritual witnessing place.
So to do this, you're actually saying eventually the goal is to transcend the emotion.
Right, right.
To be able to have some type of control over them, or freedom from them.
That's a really good question as well. How the work works, there's essentially two stages. When you first start working on yourself, the first stage can be called catharsis. You go through essentially the procedure that I've been describing. As you start welcoming these previously rejected parts of yourself, you experience a tremendous sense of wholeness and coming back into yourself. And catharsis, because these feelings come up into your consciousness, they get released, and you feel just cleansed. It's an incredible experience, and you feel just wonderful. You feel really fantastic. That it's all based on that sense of acceptance and opening to yourself that previously we've just been condemning ourselves. And by the way, acceptance of the feeling doesn't give you the license to act out on the feeling. We have to recognize that acceptance only means opening to the experience of it, not acting out the feeling, because our experiences come to us through projections, and we're really responsible for our feelings. We have to take responsibility and not blame other people, so withdrawing blame is another critical part of the whole process.
So you're saying no matter what's happened to you, as I mentioned earlier, we all come with some type of trauma or issue to overcome, whether it's verbal abuse.
Yes.
And none of it can be underestimated as to the severity of how it's affected us.
Right.
But you're still saying
right.
that we can't blame our whoever it is that abused us.
Difficult and complex and very subtle. I'd rather not get into it right now, except just to say that is the principle. We do have to understand that blame is misplaced, ultimately. And this is a very tender issue, and people have to work through it tenderly.
It might be better to save that for the workshop.
Yeah, that is one of the things we talk about. But I wanted to continue. I didn't quite finish my answer to your question, because that was a great question. Okay. The first stage is the catharsis. And then the second stage, we start moving into preparation for transcendence. And what that means is, after we've cleared the residue of so much suppressed energy, we still find that our patterns are still there. We still, you know, let's say we have an anger problem. We still have anger. We still experience rejection. We still experience a sense of, let's say, insignificance, which might be the basis for our anger. We then move into this phase of working on ourselves, which is a much longer kind of phase. It can actually, you know, extend through your entire lifetime. Of course, you experience periods of growth throughout the lifetime, so your experience changes. But what we're aiming for is transcendence of the experience. And transcendence is based on the ultimate understanding that your experience is dualistic. And what we mean by that is that, well, let's go back to this example of insignificance. You have this sense of insignificance that is driving you unconsciously, motivating you towards all kinds of, let's say, recognition and importance. You're being driven by this sense of insignificance. We have to realize that the insignificance is the complementary emotional experience of the recognition that we experience, that they go together, that we can't be driven by the negative after just experiences of the positive, whatever they are. And as we accept both our experience of the of being insignificant, let's say, just to continue this example, and also we accept our the recognition that we do receive, we stop being compulsively driven to avoid the negative, and we stop being compulsively addicted to the positive. We're able to hold those two polarities in our consciousness, and that's when the transcendence occurs. We grow beyond the issue. We find that we're no longer driven by the negative and no longer compulsively seeking and attached to the positive. We grow beyond, and the issue no longer has the same emotional compulsive value for us. We're not driven. You know, we come to this place of being okay as we are.
So we reach a balance within ourselves.
Right. And it is the balance of the positive and negative. We still do keep experiencing the negative on a certain level, but it's in a completely different way.
Because you can't have one without the other.
That's it, exactly. It's that dualistic experience of the world. They go together. But the important thing is, you know, we do, through that acceptance that they go together, we do transcend, and then we're, you know, we've grown beyond, and we're no longer being affected by it in the same way. It's just as, you know, let's say relationships, we have we have loneliness, and then we have compulsiveness to be with someone. As we integrate that and come to a point of transcendence and balance, we experience periods of aloneness, which we value. We value being alone. We regenerate ourselves. We find that we're creative. And we actually generate the love during those periods that we can express when we're in our relationship, instead of going to the relationship out of neediness.
Yes.
We go to it with a sense of being able to share the love that we're finding within. So we reach a balance of that polarity.
And when we're alone, we're able to fill our emotional tank, so that we do have more to give at that time.
Exactly.
In a relationship.
Exactly. And when we're alone is when we actually do most of this work that we're talking about, you know. Although you can do it with people as well, and with partners as well, if they're understanding what you're doing, and if you're working together, that's a very good way to work.
Yes, I'm alone right now, so I haven't had a chance to do a lot of this work.
Right.
and it's all good. I'm very grateful. I'm really, again, tuned into to this conversation because
uh-huh.
I've done 25 years of holistic healing. Mm-hmm. And I know for years, John, I carried around all of my garbage, all of my emotional garbage, like in a big bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an experience. It was in a workshop, probably such as the one you'll be giving this weekend, that I had an opportunity to kind of cleanse and dump and release this garbage. But it was 25 years of, it was a moment of transformation, 25 years of preparation for that moment. But it was a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
From that moment, I really was able to do a lot of work and work with people and
mm-hmm.
become a facilitator for other people's growth.
Ah, that's,
you talk about
that's beautiful.
Growth, yeah, and it's I'm really joyous now.
Mm-hmm.
But long-suffering was part of my past.
Right, that's true.
It was really part of it, and now I feel the grace of God, so to speak, to help others in
mm-hmm.
the process. The fourth chakra you talk about in your book, or the fourth energy center, is the seat of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the, well, if not the bulk of emotional healing transpires. Do you want to say anything about that energy center? Or?
Well, the heart, I guess you could say that it is the center of the emotions, but I look at all the chakras as having corresponding emotions. The heart is the point where we start developing what we could call the unconditional love. So that's certainly a real important point in the work that we do, opening up the heart. There's usually a lot of sadness in the heart and, you know, unconscious sadness and pain. So when we open the heart, we start coming in touch with things on that level, such as abandonment and loss, especially of loved ones, and rejection and loneliness. These are the essential things of the heart, and they're really important. When we start going through those things and releasing them, then we can move into more of a sense of unconditional love, and it becomes natural. We're not trying to force it. That's another problem with spiritual seekers. Often, you know, we try to force this unconditional love, and trying to force ourselves into the feeling just seems to result in the opposite. You know, because we're trying to be something that we're not.
Exactly. I know. For years, I tried just being spiritual, and my emotional stuff was, you know, I was trying to suppress it, and
right.
Really it made me look and feel a little strange, at least to myself.
Yeah.
But a lot of my songs and poetry have come from those experiences.